Hey Mav, how are you?
I could be doing better, just a bit of a headache, but I'm well. How are you?
Okay, I am good. Not much to complain about.
Just really looking forward to getting to a two-part special today on The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to do this one.
I think that we have something that we have spoken about. Well, we haven't really touched in depth, but I think that now that you have played recently, just finishing it off, I think our audience will be keen to hear what our thoughts and opinions are on this one.
For sure. I think we've been teeing it up since the first episode. And I know a lot of people have been messaging me like, when are you actually going to play this game? Stop talking about it and just play the game. So I'm excited to get into this one and give our sort of opinions and slash review. Let's get into it.
Okay, yeah. So before we get into that, let's get into our noob scoop.
Ash, I think we're forgetting something.
Okay.
Guys, I don't know if you've been living under a rock, but if you are following us on social media, we are the fastest growing video game podcast in South Africa and are currently sitting in the number one position in the charts, beating more than 200 podcasts, some American, some local, and we could not have done this without you guys.
Yes, thank you so much. I can't stress that enough. But thank you for listening. Thank you for engaging and enjoying our content. We are happy that you are here, and hopefully we are giving you some value.
Yo, I know a lot of people love Ash's American accent, and I haven't received any feedback on my voice, but I'm hoping you guys American. Like it. But thank you so much. It means a lot to us. Ash and I say this all the time. I even say to my family when we started off, we said, if we impact one person, that's good enough for us. But it turns out we're impacting all over South Africa, and we hope to stay in this number one position for as long as we can and keep bringing you valuable content.
Yeah, that's exactly why we are doing this. And if you're listening from outside of South Africa, just so you know that we do have actual cars and buildings and malls and shops. There aren't zebras and lions just roaming the streets.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay, I'm teasing because when I play online with people, they immediately assume that there is a zoo outside my window. And, well, I mean, there are animals outside, but that's beside the point. Yeah, but thank you for the support. We love you guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Ash, let's get into our segment, the Noob Scoop. What do you have for us today?
I've got some really interesting news, but before we get into it, I'd like you to know that this video is sponsored by Ridge Wallet. Okay, now, that's a joke because I'm sure you've seen YouTube and the many different creators out there that are, I mean, everywhere, every single video on anyone that's in gaming, you see that Ridge Wallet is sponsoring the video. So guys, if you're listening, we currently don't have a sponsor, but if you are keen to hint, yeah, just send us an email to thenoobologypodcast@gmail.com.
That's a nice plug,
but
Ash.
Back to the news. Yeah, okay. Back to the news. And Ghost of Tsushima. Now, we've spoken about this in our previous episodes, and they seem to be doing very, very well. Mavs, did you hear about the success?
You know me, Ash. I kind of stay away from the Ghost of Tsushima news if I'm trying to play a game. But I'm really, really excited to kind of hear what you have for our audience and myself. So please go ahead and enlighten us.
Okay, so the game is doing incredibly well in Japan. I mean, it's gotten to a stage where Sony actually had to come out and tweet and engage with the consumers to tell them that, hey, we do know that you love this game and that it's selling out very fast, so we are provisioning more physical copies. But for now, we do recommend that you go and get yourself the digital version. I mean, when was the last time Sony had to do this? I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, I can't recount myself to a time where Sony has come out and said this publicly. But interesting enough, when you look at the developers of the game, Sucker Punch, their last game was Infamous Second Son. Then they had the DLC from that and the second game, which was First Light. I played Infamous Second Son, and it was an incredible game, and I loved it. And it took them a while to come up with their next IP. And in fact, there's a leak for a game that they scrapped called Prophecy. It's somewhere on YouTube. You can find some gameplay.
Oh, yes.
And I saw that gameplay and I was quite excited, and they seem to be doing really, really well under Sony and thriving actually. And I can't say much about Ghost of Tsushima because I haven't played it. But I know that there were a lot of other people externally, from apart from Sony, that were saying amazing things about the game, like the Yakuza director. Ash, I think you've got a better perspective of that.
Yeah, Mavs, the Yakuza director. I hope I don't butcher the name, so please bear with me if I do. Toshihiro Nagoshi. Okay, so anyway, this guy is the director for the Yakuza series. And he had nothing but praises for this game, and I think that's incredible. One of the things that he said was, it's amazing when somebody who isn't Japanese can astound the Japanese people and the audience to a point where they have a great appreciation for the game. And I think the sales are speaking for the title. I mean, it's Sony's fastest selling IP, a newly released IP for the consoles in the history. So it's something that's really incredible to see. And I mean, the game is beautiful. If you just sit back and did nothing, I think that's where the height of the beauty comes into play.
I did hear about, I think I might butcher the sales figures here, but it was more than 2.4 million units sold in its first 3 days of globally in its first 3 days. I don't know if I'm getting that right. It might be, the figures might be wrong, it might be a little bit altered, but yeah, it's doing really, really well. And I've seen people post like stills. I'm trying to keep away from the game, but there are some of my friends who are posting from photo mode, and it looks so beautiful, man. I can't even I don't have the words to describe how beautiful and cinematic this game looks. It's like you're basically playing a samurai movie. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. I think that the best way to describe it is that it is a samurai movie that you've always wanted.
And you are controlling the game. You're essentially controlling the movie. And when I do get a chance to play this game, I think most of my time I'm just going to spend just taking it all in and playing with photo mode, which I think I'm really, really excited to do. But yeah, it looks incredible, man.
Yeah, it does. And I think we've spoken enough about the beauty of the game.
Yeah, too much.
I think we could dedicate a whole episode to it. But I mean, come on. If you've seen it, if you've seen at least one still or one screenshot, you know what I mean.
I
think there's
something. That's exactly it, Ash. It's like one screenshot or one still is enough to get you to want to buy the game.
Yeah. And I think that's something that Xbox has been missing recently.
Let's not go there. Leave them. Let's leave them.
Yeah, let's leave Xbox in our last episode.
Yeah, leave them.
And move along to some more Sony news. Okay, but...
Oh, wait, Ash, before we get into some more Sony news, I recently heard from our production guys that you said something very interesting about Samurai Code called... I'm going to butcher the name. Bushido? And that had to get scrapped out because there were some issues over Zoom. Yep. I was really interested in what you were saying, and I'm really sad it got scrapped out. So maybe you want to give that bit of wise Yoda knowledge that I call it to the audience.
Okay, I'll definitely try to impart some wisdom to the listeners. Hopefully I have some this time. But anyway, going back to what I was saying. Okay, so to those of you who don't know, the samurai live by a code called Bushido. And I've seen many reviewers make this mistake. Bushido is a code that was written or basically enforced, if that's the right word, in the 18th century. It could be 19th century, but I think it's the 18th. And it's basically where samurais need to abide by a code of honor. And I've seen some reviewers make a mistake where they assume that Jin needs to hold himself to that same set of values. Now, something that's a bit apparent when you follow the game and the storyline, you see that it's set in a time that's way before then. It's set during the first Mongol invasion that happened in the 12th century. So this was a ways before then. But something that is very cool is Kurosawa and the Kurosawa mode. I'm not sure if you guys remember that I was reading a book called The Book of the Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi. Now, Kurosawa did make a film on him, and getting into the samurai state of mind for the game, I mean, the haikus and basically the culture, there is a lot of romanticism that is there, but honestly, if you want to get set up in the samurai mindset, please go and read the book, because it is amazing. Now, this guy, I know I said that he was a masterless samurai, so he was a ronin, but he was so much more than that. He was a guy that would actually go around and challenge the best sword fighters in the land and best them, so defeat them in combat. And there's this one story that that happened was he went to the best school in Japan at the time, and he challenged the top student to a duel, beat the guy immediately. And the guys were so shocked that the brother of the one that he beat challenged him to a duel at that same time, like just after he lost his brother, or his brother was defeated in combat.
When you say lost his brother, did he kill him or just defeated him?
Yeah, okay. He was killed.
Okay.
Because they would fight with real swords and real blades. So when I say that he bested people, he killed over 60 challengers. And in the game in Ghost of Tsushima, there are like mini boss battles where you have to go up against a sword fighter, a swordsman, and you had to have an epic combat that would basically be described in the stuff of legends, and the thunder is going off in the background and you are engaged in a battle of life and death. But yeah, Miyamoto Musashi was amazing, and you should definitely check out his book.
Did you finish reading it?
I did not. I stopped on the second scroll, so the book is divided into 4 or 5 scrolls. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just got a bit sidetracked. But I will be finishing that soon.
When he challenged when the brother challenged him, I'm sure I already know the outcome, but did he best him as well?
Yeah, he did. So what then happened was the school that this all happened at, they were immediately very upset. And the brother that he fought had a son, and the son got some of the students together and decided to go after him. So there was a group of I think it was 10, well, between 10 to 50 men. I know that's a bit of a broad number, but bear with me. So what happened was they actually went after him, and they said that this was an insult to their school, and this was about defending their honor. So what they did was they went after him, and he managed to fight off a few of them and escape. And I mean, for a warrior to die of old age, I know there's a saying that says, beware of any old man in a place where men die young. Musashi was one of them. He was something else. Okay, so I think that's enough about the book. Let's get back to gaming, and let's go back to FIFA. I believe that there was some FIFA news that dropped this week. Mavs, do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. But before we talk about FIFA 21 very quickly, I'm really interested in this book, the Book of Five Rings, if that's the right name. I think we should do our review of Ghost of Tsushima and tie it into this book or bring it in somehow. I'm really keen to talk about it more.
Yeah, I would definitely be keen.
Because I'm sure there's a lot more to explore in terms of correlation between the book and samurai culture and the game, right?
Yeah, I think that the book is a piece of samurai culture. So it would fit in nicely to the world of Ghost of Tsushima.
Awesome, man. I look forward to our review. Okay, cool. So FIFA 21. I didn't actually read much upon it, but I remember you sending me something, and I saw that people wanted to... I learned what cancel culture is, Ash. Don't make fun of me. People wanted to boycott this game because they feel like it's the same game, sort of like a copy and paste formula that's happening in FIFA right now, but with EA, the makers of the game. So it feels like they're just taking the same thing and replicating it and calling it FIFA 21, and then you play the game again. And players aren't happy about that. Is that loosely correct?
Yeah, I think so. I've been reading some news about that, and it seems that people have become aware of EA and what EA are doing when it comes to FIFA. Yeah. I'm not so sure about how this one gets resolved, because I do know that football doesn't really change that much on a year-on-year basis, because the tenets of the game basically stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
But when FIFA releases a new game every year at full price, that's not very much different from its predecessor, I have to wonder, how are they taking the game forward? How are they expanding and making it better? I mean, could it just be done in an update? I think that there are people who agree with me and say that maybe it should be an update that you purchase on a yearly basis, rather than a full-priced game that's fully developed.
Right. To add to that, I think, and I'm probably getting a lot of negative feedback for saying this, but so there's FIFA 20, right, that they've already released and you're available to buy that right now and play it, and you can play that right now. But I think that they should, as an idea, right, it's just an idea, that an opinion of mine, they should release a DLC or like a patch update or season update or like a FIFA 21 update for the FIFA 20 game, and let players kind of use that and take the next year to plan properly what they can do different with FIFA 21 or FIFA 22, sorry, and how they can change that and add more features to the career mode, maybe more multiplayer features that they could use and kind of expand on. I think that would be something new that players can experience. It's something that Ubisoft did a while ago with Assassin's Creed. I mean, they were releasing games for Assassin's Creed every year and people got so tired of it. So they took a year off and they didn't release any Assassin's Creed. And then they came back with Assassin's Creed Origins. And from there, people started loving the game again. So it works.
Yeah, I think it does work. Call of Duty did something similar, I think, with their Modern Warfare game, where they took a break, they looked at their game engine and said, hey, it's time that we updated. And now look at the game that we have. It's something that is enjoyed globally. And there was a joke that people would make and say that Call of Duty is like war, or war is like Call of Duty, because Call of Duty never changes.
But I know there's going to be players who are going to be angry that they won't experience a FIFA 21 game, but if they have a patch or a season update with a FIFA 20 game, I think that would help, instead of having a FIFA 21 game that feels like a copy and paste from its predecessor. So if you think about that for a second and think about how they can take a year off and plan and have the creative team come up with new ways to play and for players to experience better features in the game, I think that will respond a lot well. And then from there, they can pivot and plan the next 5 years of the game and what it looks like.
But how would it get better? That would be a question I'd ask.
Yeah, I mean, I played FIFA 19 a while back, and I've also played like the old Pro Evolution Soccer with family members lately. And I don't really know how they can, like, I don't really know how they can do it. But the one thing that I did like was they included something called Volta Football. It's kind of like street soccer, basically, which is pretty, pretty, like, cool. And the graphics look amazing when you're playing that. So that was really exciting to see. In terms of what can they do better, I think, for starters, if they're going to continue with this copy-paste formula, they can reduce the price, right? I think people would respond a little bit better if the price was reduced. And if they're using the same copy-paste formula, you're playing the same game, just cheaper, with the updated title, right?
Yeah. Right now, I'm thinking about our listeners who are at home or at work or gaming or just listening to us, thinking that, hey, this is what you should do and this is what they should do. And please get in touch with us. Let us know what your thoughts and opinions are. We'd love to have you included in our conversation. Yeah, so send us a voice note or a message. Let us know what you think. And yeah, we'd love to include you in our conversation.
Yeah, exactly, Ash. I think our listeners have a better understanding of the game than we do. They've probably played FIFA 20 and have some ideas on how to upgrade the game. So send us your voice notes, send us a message rather, whatever's convenient for you, and we will include that in our next episode. And is that all the news we have today?
Yeah, I think that just about wraps up our noob scoop. I know that there is a bit more on Ghost of Tsushima that we could speak about, but to summarize, it's American culture. Mm-hmm. American journalists that are deciding to be offended by a game that's made by Americans for people around the world to play. saying that no, it should have been made by Japanese. But yeah, I don't think that's worth speaking about because I think it's just stupid. It's a stupid argument. But Mavs, do you want to say anything about that?
No, okay. I think you pretty much wrapped it up for us.
Okay, yeah, so I think that just about wraps up our Noob Scoop. And yeah, let's get into our next segment.
I'm glad we kept it short because there's a lot to say for our thoughts and review on The Last of Us 2. I know we're doing this very late, but we wanted to wait to get all of the reviews out and let people actually play the game so we can do a spoiler review. If some of you haven't played the game yet, then please be warned that this podcast is going to contain spoilers for the game and the ending.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah, spoiler warning. So you can go ahead and maybe skip this part and look forward to our next episode there. And we look forward to you to finishing the game and then just letting us know your thoughts. So, The Last of Us 2, a game that we both have been really excited for since 20-something. When did we hear about the game, Ash? 2018? No?
I'm not so sure, actually.
Okay.
I do remember that... Yeah, I do remember you messaging me and telling me to go check out the trailer.
Yeah, that was a while back. That was a while back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been looking forward to this game ever since, man. I think The Last of Us, the first one, is an instant classic among so many people and so many players. And everyone was looking forward to this game. And if you haven't played it, I highly recommend that you listen to this podcast. There will be spoilers, but if you're willing to listen to those spoilers, then that will be awesome. Moving right along, we do have some voice notes from people who have played the game. And this is a close friend of mine. His name is Daniel. He's also a colleague, and this is his thoughts.
Yo, hey, Mav. Hope you're doing well, dude. Here I am with my little Last of Us Part 2 review. I'm going to try to keep it on the short side and just keep my real opinions in it. I think that's important. So from a cinematic point of view, it's a beautiful game. I don't think you can really fault it anywhere. I suppose the only place you could really fault it is if you had to say, oh, I didn't really enjoy this part of the story. I mean, that's the only real part you could fault. I almost felt when playing the game that I couldn't wait for the next cutscene, you know. I couldn't wait for the next bit of storyline to kick in, you know. Like, cool, I like killing myself some zombies, but yeah, I just honestly I couldn't wait for the cutscenes. I just thought it was beautifully done, and the story hooked me from the first minute. I think in the hype of these games, that's very important to be hooked from the beginning. I mean, a lot of people were like, oh no, the game's been overhyped. Cool, I think to some certain degree it was definitely overhyped. But I was not sad at the delivery. I think the delivery was perfect. I don't think they could have done much better. Obviously, leveraging off the first game, they had to obviously keep the core gameplay, the core mechanics. And, you know, they did expand on it, which was awesome. But I don't really see where they could have done much else. I think they did a fantastic job. I really, really enjoyed the game. I think they made the zombies a little bit harder to kill, the clickers, everything a little bit harder to kill. Obviously, the introduction of some new zombies, if you guys have played it, it's awesome. But yeah, it's really one of my games of the year, I think. In terms of cinematic appearance, I believe it holds up to the likes of Detroit Become Human. I mean, geez, we all know what a fantastic game from a story point of view and from an aesthetic point of view, how beautiful that game was and still is. I mean, yo, that game could carry over to the PS5, and I think it would still be doing itself justice. But yeah, I'm not yet to finish the game. I played a fair chunk of it, but I can't wait to finish it, as well as I can't wait to just keep playing it. I just want to sort of keep the story going, keep the story alive. I doubt there'll be a next one, but yeah, that's my little review. One of my games of the year, without a doubt, if not game of the year. Yeah, dude. I hope you're doing well, and check you soon.
So that was Dan. Thank you so much, bud, for your voice note. Please don't listen to this episode, because if you're still playing it, just skip through this one. I don't want to ruin this for you and your experience. But Ash, I think in order for us to do a proper review, we have to break it up into three parts, right? We have to talk about marketing, gameplay, and story. So because you can't review the game as a whole, because there's just so much to talk about, and we'll end up talking for like hours. So let's break it down into marketing, gameplay, and story. So let's start with marketing.
yeah, before we get into to marketing, I just want to say thank you, Daniel, for sending us that voice note. It was a very strongly worded voice note. Game of the Year dropped a few times. Hopefully you don't hate me after this episode when you do come back and listen to it. But I think that it was a very good presentation, but...
He hasn't played Ghost of Tsushima yet.
Let's see.
Go easy. So let him play that one, and I'm sure he's going to change his mind. But Ash, I think there's so much to get to with the marketing and so much thoughts that you have, I know, because I remember there was a leak. First of all, there was a leak with the game. Naughty Dog claimed that someone hacked their servers through an old Uncharted 3 patch or something. I'm not really sure on the details. And there was a bunch of gameplay.
It was a bit sketchy.
Exactly. A bunch of gameplay leaks and stuff like that. And unfortunately, my mind went everywhere. And I said, I pride myself and don't look at it. And then it so happens that I went on Instagram, and when you hit the search little icon search in Instagram, it brings up a bunch of stuff that you like, of yeah, like
suggested,
that
yeah.
You've interacted with. And then I saw a white kind of background with the words, "Joel dies, don't buy the game." I was like, no, no, why?
That's awful, honestly. That's
yeah, it was like, I was like, no. And then I put my phone down, and then I messaged you and I said, I need to talk to you immediately. Please call me back. But yeah, the game leaked and a main character dies. Ash, what are your thoughts on the way Sony handled the leak and the way Naughty Dog responded to it?
Okay, I have many, many things to say about this. Yeah, so a bit of a background and how I got to know about the leaks on my side. So one of my friends messaged me and said, hey, did you hear about the Last of Us Part 2 leaks? And I said, no, I didn't. So she went on to describe basically what she saw. And straight away I knew that, okay, I want to find out a bit more about this. So I hopped onto the internet, into parts of the dark web. It does exist. It is out there. And I found footage that was hosted on a Russian website, or it's either Russian or Czech, but it's from the part of the world where DMCAs don't have any actual power. So I got to see a lot. I got to see a whole lot. And I think every week there was something new that was coming out about the game that wasn't favorable to it. And it's very hard to separate a game from its marketing. I mean, I think it's impossible to do so. And especially when it has many negative connotations associated with it. And unfortunately for The Last of Us, this was the case with the second game. There's a lot to get into. Mavs, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I'm just curious. When you say you saw a lot on this Russian Czech website, did you actually see the scene? Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Okay, see, so there was a bunch of, I think, minute-long videos that released. So there was like about 8 to 10 of them that dropped. And what happened was the rumor behind this is that this was a disgruntled employee that leaked it.
Right.
Or it was a hack or a hacker that got into the servers somehow. That seems very suspicious. Honestly, I believe the employee more than I do the hackers. But anyway, so what happened was someone with the employee side, someone was upset with the way that the game was going, and they said that, hey, don't waste your time playing this game.
Right.
So what they did was they basically released all of the key plot element points in the game. That's how many people got to know the leaks and said that they saved themselves $60 from that.
As much as a player, I resonate with that on some level about it being, the story being a little bit, you know, winded and not really living up to its predecessor. But I don't, I'm a huge fan of games and how they get made and stuff like that. And what that employee did wasn't the right way to go about doing it. I just feel like a lot of people and a lot of developers poured their heart and soul into this game. And, you know, I've heard about the kind of crunch culture that Naughty Dog has, and a lot of people worked really, really, really hard on this game. And for that to be ruined by a leak, it really does suck. It just ruins that hard work. Think about it this way. If you did all this hard work and someone just comes along and just puts it out there before you could even say anything or show the world, it does cause some problems. It's quite sad to see that they did that.
It is hard. It is. For the developers involved, because if you put your time and your effort into something at over a period of a few years, to have that destroyed in a few seconds by someone, it is heartbreaking. But at the same time, I do understand why the person was upset.
Same. And
many people did share the same feeling. Mavs, are you one of them?
We'll get into that. But yes, I agree. I think he was upset, or if the story is even true, he was upset the way he did it. He shouldn't have released. My thing is that if you were going to not ruin the game but give away the game, then you should have done it. Use your words. Don't actually take the hard work of people that have been working on this game and just display it out there without any context. And I think that's what mattered the most with this gameplay. And Sony came out and said, Troy Baker, the actor who actually plays Joel, in his YouTube channel, said, "You can watch the leaks, but the context isn't there. And if you're watching something without context, you're instantly going to get obviously upset in what the visuals are showing you, right?" So context wasn't there. But like I said, Ash, let's get into my feelings about this game. So moving on with the marketing, a lot of people did speak out about the leaks. And we covered this in our first or second episode. And a lot of people got their YouTube strikes, and their channel got pulled down for speaking out against about the leaks and against Naughty Dog. And we both said that, you know, it sucks when you take away someone's bread and butter, right?
Yeah, and okay, so basically a YouTube copyright strike is a strike against your channel. So it works on a system of threes. So if you get three strikes against your channel is deleted. So all of your subs, all of your monetization, your income that you had is gone. Just like that. That's their policy. And I mean, it can be reviewed. So I'm not sure if you remember, but a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about a YouTuber called Babyzone. And he was a victim of plagiarism by IGN Brazil. So what happened was he filed a copyright strike against them, saying that they are using his content without his permission. And there was nothing that happened. There's no consequences to IGN Brazil. All they did was issued an apology that basically said that they apologize for being caught. So there is a bit of a double standard against creators when it comes to copyright strikes, because if a corporate accuses them of breaching that, then they are taken down immediately without any to defend themselves against the allegations. But on the other side of that, the corporates basically decide that, okay, if someone issues a strike against me, I can decide if I'm going to respond to that and if I'm going to be caught or not. So that's weird that it does happen, but that's part of the YouTube ecosystem that we've seen many people leave. But coming back to this game, I think it was a turning point for the game. Basically, it is what defined the stigma around the game, because many people were just upset with what the studio did, and people that didn't even show any footage, they just spoke about the leak, they were getting copyright struck. And we don't want to hate anybody or dislike any game or any business practice, but when someone does that to you, I mean, you are basically creating a situation for yourself.
Right. The way Sony went about it was completely wrong. I think everyone has the right to speak about the leaks, right? Or to speak about something that's already out there and people have seen it. And now you're going to go around and stop the people that are talking about it when they've already seen it. The leaks are already out there. Damage is done. Don't take away someone's bread and butter. They make a living off these YouTube videos and the viewership. and then you're going to go and strike them down. And that's what added to the, I'm not going to say hatred, but the feelings, the mixed feelings towards the game was that YouTubers and players were getting their content put down and their channels put down, and that didn't really look too good for Sony and Naughty Dog at the time.
I think that it was trending to hate the game from that point onwards. And the funny thing is that they actually DMCA'd themselves. So Sony were a victim of themselves, and they actually pulled down a piece of content that was on their tweets. So that was funny that it actually happened to them. But yeah, it was trending and it did happen. And yeah.
The one thing that a lot of people, I haven't come across as, or talked about, or seen people talk about is the lack of gameplay from the second part of the game, where you play as Abby, which we'll get into a little later. A lot of the trailers were, I don't want to say deceiving, but they were edited to look away, or edited in a way to persuade you to buy the game. Like there was one of the scenes, I don't know if people noticed this, but there was one of the scenes where in the trailer, Joel was like, "You think I'm gonna let you do this on your own, kiddo?" And then that wasn't actually Joel saying that. There was another character, Jesse, who said that line. Right, so in the game, just a quick one, guys. In the game, you play, so Ellie's going, and the trailer made it look like Ellie is doing something, and she's getting something, or hatred, or revenge, whatever, and Joel meets her halfway. But that's not Joel, that's actually Jesse in the game. It was kind of a little bit misleading that they made Joel, made that scene look like it was Joel speaking when it was actually Jesse. And then in the E3 trailer a while back, you got to see, or you were introduced to Abby, who a lot of people thought was Ellie's mother. They thought that we were going to go back in time and in the past and look at how Ellie was born or whatever, but that wasn't the case. That was actually Abby, who you play as in the second part of the game. And we didn't see any gameplay from there on. It was just Ellie. So yeah, the lack of gameplay, what are your thoughts on that? Should they have released some gameplay regarding Abby? Should they not?
I think we should take a moment to acknowledge my boy's performance as a voiceover artist. That was incredible.
What's that? Oh, thank you. I tried my best.
Yeah, so I think that's a bit of a dark tactic to use. And I mean, the developers even said in an article that Ellie was the only playable character. Maybe at the time that was the reality, but I mean, if we are, well, we have to take developers at their word on what they say about the games. For them to be misleading in that way, and I would say cunning in how they edited the trailers and the trailer that came after the leak, where it seemed to be a different game completely. So there sort of grew some suspicion at the leak and the credibility of it. So now you wondered, is it the same game? And now that the game has been out for 2 months, I think that people have discovered that, yes, it is indeed the same game, unfortunately. And it's being put in a place where it's sort of one and done, and that's it. But I think are we done with marketing?
Last thing, and then we'll wrap up marketing and stuff. What Dan said was he compared a really good game, which I really, really loved, Detroit Become Human. Did you play that game, Ash?
I did. I played the demo, I played the game, and it was amazing to look at.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Heavy Rain a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Same developers, right?
I'm not too sure. Quantic Dreams?
Yes. Yeah, same developers. Yeah, I think the performance, the performances from the actors there, I think it was Brian Deckhart, and I'm forgetting that other dude, and the chick. Sorry, forgive me. But I loved that game. I played it. I think I instantly played it like four times. I did the playthrough four times because there's different outcomes to the story, right?
Yeah.
So you can, yeah, so whatever action you make in like the first scene affects the 20th scene, whatever. So there's different outcomes to the game. So I played it to get to those different outcomes, and you just control the character and you make decisions, but it's actually very, very immersive and it's intriguing. Like it leaves you wanting more. So to compare to The Last of Us 2 in terms of the graphics, 100%. I think obviously The Last of Us 2 is a little bit higher in terms of graphics and stuff like that, but we'll get into that in the gameplay part of this review. But yes, I agree with Dan when he compares it to the Detroit, those cinematic pieces and the way the environments are set up, it's quite beautiful. And then just wrapping up marketing and media, the trailers, if you have seen the trailers, you will know what I'm talking about when I say they weren't really painting the true picture of the game or the story, because a lot of the times when you see Joel in those trailers, when he's when there's a zombie crawling up to Ellie and he comes in and steps on it and shoots it, that's actually a flashback with a younger Joel. So the trailers were very, very edited in a way that didn't depict the game well. So when it comes to Naughty Dog and marketing and stuff like that, I think that's something that I wish they just did properly and expanded upon and showed us gameplay of Abby and introduced her, and not just introduced it prior to us buying the game, because you only know her and know of her story when you play the game, really. Moving on to gameplay, we have another voice note or clip from a good friend of mine, Chloe, who is an excellent designer I work with. I'm going to play that clip right now, where she talks about a little bit about the gameplay and then the story.
Hey Mav, it's Chloe. I hope you're doing well. This is my short review on Last of Us Part 2. So for me, one of the biggest worries, before I actually started playing the game, was there being it being disjointed from the first game. Like, they've added too many things. They've tried to obviously keep it up with like the latest games and having, you know, all these cool new things. I was worried, like, you know, this isn't really The Last of Us. This is, you know, them trying to keep up with what's going on in the gaming world. And honestly, I was completely wrong, because it is amazing what they've been able to add to this game to elevate it, that it still connects to the first game. So, I mean, I know this is silly, but being able for Ellie to jump and do more things, which seems normal for most games in 2020, but it just felt so refreshing and just gave the character something new, which was, it was nice, because you want to take Ellie to places you couldn't take her before as well, which helped with the expanded map that we have now. And that was something that I always like to do. I like to look through every nook and cranny in every single place that I took the character in the first game. And now to do that in the new game, it's a lot harder, but it's so much more fun, because you immerse yourself into their world and you get to, you know, experience and see more like the devastation that's happened, you know, the world they're currently living in now. And it enhances the storyline and the character, and it gives a good understanding as, you know, this is why they are the way they are, and this is why they've got to survive and do the things that they had to do. I mean, as well, something with this game is that you have to play the characters as they are, which is something you often got to depict or do the storyline you want in games, whereas this is like, you have to experience it like this. You cannot change it. And, you know, that brought up a lot of uncomfortable moments. And I mean, I didn't expect it. And because you're so immersed into this game, it hits you hard. And I mean, you know, the way they also immerse you into this game, it's through those amazing cinematography and like through the cinematic experience and the storyline and the cutscenes and the gameplay. It's just, it works so well together, and you never feel as if it's dragging on or something, just, you know, like you just want to get on to the next thing. It fits perfectly together. And I think for me as well, it's, you know, I often would struggle with games that had a lot of cutscenes between gameplays and scenes where they would talk about the storyline just to add, you know, more information for you to obviously know what's going on. And I would often lose, like, I'd understand what's happening, and I understood why they would do it, but I often felt it would drag on, and it would just want me to play the game. I just want to go on and like get into the gameplay. I didn't want to sit through the cinematic scenes. I'd often skip them. Whereas with Last of Us Part 2, I'm sitting there, and I'm so immersed as if I'm watching a movie, and as if I'm, you know, I'm not wanting to to skip the scenes as I would in a normal game. And I think that's something that's really amazed me, because I'm someone that I love to just play the game. Like, I get annoyed by having so many cutscenes between gameplays, and this isn't like that. You don't have that. And I think another thing for me is it also gives you a deeper understanding of the characters, and you know, just what Joel and Ellie had to go through as well. It's, you kind of get an understanding going through the game as well about why Joel has done what he's done, and like the type of person, you know, who he had to become before he met Ellie and after. And then, you know, there's a lot of questionable things that he has done, obviously previously in the first game that we know, and which gives, we get a bit of a backstory while playing Last of Us Part Two as to, you know, what he's done and everything that's happened. And you kind of understand, you know, he had to do it because of what's going on in the world. And I think for me, it gave me an understanding of Joel that I didn't have before. And it's amazing as well to then see Ellie grow as a character. You know, I could picture her as she is now and in the first game. It's like, it's just amazing to see her character grow and the people she comes in contact with and how, you know, they impact her life. And I think another thing for me, what's really amazing about this game is just, you know, you get to play as the opposite side as well, and you get to play as characters you didn't get to play as before. So having that experience as well gets you to understand the game and the environment and the characters and just what's happening so much better. And, you know, with that as well, it's like you kind of develop a relationship with a character, and then a character does something and you're like, what the hell? I didn't expect that. Like, you know, you expect this, you obviously, their storylines will meet, and when they do, you don't expect what will happen. And that's the thing that caught me, and it kind of, I had to take a step back from playing the game. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And it was honestly, it was different to a lot of games that I've played, because I've never had emotional connections when I'm playing a different character. Or, you know, you have these experiences, okay, cool, I get it, like, I expected that to happen, and a lot of things I did not expect to happen. And you know, you have really a strong connection to Joel and Ellie when you start playing the game, and you know, obviously that gets stronger playing it in Last of Us Part Two. But then also playing as other characters, you get emotional connections towards them and feelings while playing as their character. But like I said, you have to play them as they are. You can't change who they are. So if you know, if they do something you really aren't happy with, you just got to do it. And it just, for me, it creates that memorable experience and that immersive gameplay that I've never had before in a game. And I mean, there's so much about this game that I want to say, but I don't want to give anything away. But I hope this gives a good understanding of what I've experienced in the game and what you could expect. So thank you.
So that was Chloe. Ash, any initial thoughts from that?
Yeah, thank you, Chloe, for sending that through. It is very interesting, the words and the things that she said in the voice note. And I'm really glad that you are enjoying the game and that you are connecting with the characters on an emotional level. And I think that's why we play games. We play games to connect with stories that we wouldn't normally be a part of or know about or experience. And yeah, I don't think we are going to experience a zombie apocalypse in our lifetime. But 2020 has been a bit of a weird year, so maybe we shouldn't rule that out just yet.
You'll never know.
Okay, so that wraps up part one of our Last of Us Part Two special. Join us on our next episode for my zombie apocalypse survival guide and our thoughts on the points that Chloe has brought up. Don't forget to give us a like, review us, and share us with your friends. Till next time, keep on noobing.